She was a perfect wife, Betty Crocker, Dan Mother, massive breeder of 7 children, man the cash register at the family hardware store, good Catholic, church organist, bake sale wizard extraordinaire, a small, plump, quiet, understated, almost invisible 60-year-old grandmother in Shandaken, New York, population 7,683. It was Christmas, her 96-year-old grandfather just flew in. It was a big family get-together, a reunion. She started cooking early. The butterball, the peas, the carrots. She bought him this $40 necktie. The family came, they ate, they screamed, they laughed, the children running wet. She cooked, she served. She cooked more, they asked her for stuff. She did more, she cooked. They asked her, she served, and then she fell asleep exhausted. The next morning, only the old man was up. She went down to the kitchen. He was sitting there with her necktie. She started making him and everybody else breakfast. She got him a cup of coffee. He had the small, bony, fragile, sharp-beaked face of a rat, wearing her necktie, sucking on his few remaining teeth, scratching his side with crooked fingers. You know, he goes up there and he says, "You still don't know how to make a proper cup of coffee, do you?" "Excuse me?" "The coffee," he said. "You still don't know how to make a proper cup of coffee." She came up behind him. She came up slowly behind him. She grabbed him by the tie and yanked back. She started yanking, and it felt good. It felt good as he yanked. And she was pulling it, and his head was contorting, and his fat, meat-like tongue was drooling, sticking out of his head. And she pulled it until he stopped moving, and she let go. His head, bang, hit the table. She went over, got the rest of the coffee, came over to him, poured it over his liver spots. She was very calm. She was very calm. Everything was very vivid. She went back to the kitchen. She got this 20-pound cast iron pot, came up to him, started banging him against the back of the head again and again. The coroner said it was 47 times. 47 times. All that was left was this greasy stain, like a beaver's tail in a red dripping puddle. Good. She said, "Fuck breakfast." Got the keys, she went to the car. She drove to Albany, it's very close. She went to a police station, passed out. They found her like 6 hours later, the trial was brief. She had refused to talk from that moment on. She was like, very strange, just looking down at the floor the whole time. They put her in an asylum. For 2 months, she maintained the silence, and finally her children came to visit. And they were speaking to her like they always do, and she was looking down at the ground, and then one of them says, "You used to look so happy." Something inside her just kind of snapped, and she said, "What?" She said, "What? Get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me! I hate you all! I should have killed you all! Get the fuck out! Get out of here!" They left. The nurses took them away. They took them away. They were weeping, but inside of her she felt this awesome satisfaction, this excellent relief, and she was free. She was free. The next few months were like probably the happiest of her life. She was whistling to herself. She was like a little Buddha, a little content little Buddha. And then she got bored of this island, so she realized what she had to do to get out. So she became Betty Crocker for the doctor. She became Betty Crocker for the doctor. She wept about it. She had remorse, false remorse. They finally let her out, you know, in her husband's supervision. They let her out, and first 2 weeks at home, everything was fine. She was like the little slave, doing the dishes, doing the food. Everybody was happy. Oh, what a change. And then after about 2 weeks, they stopped looking after her. You know, they said, "Oh, she's back to normal." She had her break. She grabbed her husband's 38, went into the car, and went off to the local bank. She took off all her clothes, entered the bank, put the gun right to the teller's head, and said, "Give me all your fucking money or I'll blow your fucking head across the wall." The teller was, of course, surprised. The security guard, a fat old man, came running up to her. He shot her. She shot him. I'm sorry. She shot him, and he just fell. He just fell dead. The rest of the people in the bank immediately got into a prone. You know, they were on the floor immediately because people do that in these kind of harsh situations. The teller freaks, start giving her money, She grabbed the wads of cash and started dancing. She started dancing around the bodies on the floor, throwing the money into the air, just throwing, letting it feather down on their bodies. And every now and then she might come up to somebody and just give them a little kick. Yeah, just give them a little kick with the heel of her foot, maybe just like, just against that nugget of the back of the head, just a little kick. And it made her feel better, made her feel very good. And her dance got more and more erotic as she feathered that money around, as she kicked these squirming, scared people on the floor, and she, you know, she was grinding her buttocks against the cash machine when the SWAT team finally arrived. A man with a megaphone says, "Come up with your hands out immediately. Put the gun down." Her final words were, "Eat shit, asshole." She fired two shots. She was immediately gunned down dead in a typical show of massive, sudden, and decisive force.